On the night that he was betrayed, after he had had supper with his disciples, he began to teach them concerning the coming of another comforter. As we approach the table of the Lord, I want to share some scripture out of the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Before I do that, let me express our procedure here at Water of Life concerning the Lord's table. First of all, let me announce that this is the Lord's table. It's not ours. Your host is not the Water of Life Christian Center. Your host is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is not our blood and our body. It's His blood and His body. These symbolic elements that we're going to partake of today. And so, if you are a Christian, if you are born again, if you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if He's the Lord of your life, regardless of what church you belong to, regardless if you belong to any church, if you're a believer, if you know that you've been born again, then Jesus Christ of Nazareth gives you invitation through me today to come and partake of this ordinance of His church. If you're not a Christian, or if you are walking apart from God this morning and you know it, and you're unwilling to restore yourself to right relationship with God, then I must warn you, allow the elements to pass and do not partake. We're instructed and warned in the Word of God that some in the church at Corinth were not discerning the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and making a farce of the communion supper. And because of that, the Apostle Paul said, some of you are sick, some of you are weak, and some of you have even died prematurely. And so this is not just a little piece of bread, a little cup of juice that we're taking here. It's a ordinance of the church of the King. And it's not a game to be played. And so I must warn you against improperly partaking of the Lord's Supper. When we do partake, I'm going to ask as the elements are passed among you that if you would hold the elements, please, and then we will take together at my instruction. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you've not been born again, or if you have known the Lord in the past, but you're walking out of fellowship with Him, you've turned your back on Him, I urge you to correct that situation today. If you're not a believer, I encourage you to become one. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? The Bible says that if you'll believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ of Nazareth up from the dead and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, God's Word says you'll be saved. I believe that's the truth. It worked for me, and it works in the lives of others daily. Every day God's adding to the church such as are being saved, and He'll add you today to the body of Jesus Christ, His church, if you believe on Jesus and confess Him as your Lord. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, in a few moments, we'll be praying. And as we're praying, you invite Jesus to come into your heart and just talk to the Heavenly Father and tell Him that you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and that He's alive today. And then just invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life. He'll come into your heart, give you a brand new life. He'll save you from sin. He'll save you from hell. But even better than that, He'll save you to a wonderful new existence. And if you've been walking apart from the Lord, if you've been out of fellowship with Christ, I encourage you to confess what you've been doing as sin. The Bible says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? As if God calls what you've been doing sin and you won't call it sin, then you can't walk together because you're out of agreement. And so all you need to do is just acknowledge that it's sin. Just say, Father, I confess. That's what confession's all about, is agreeing with God. Father, I confess and I agree with your word that what I've been doing is sin. I've been departing from you. I've been operating in a way that is not in accordance with your word. And I'm sorry. Forgive me. The scripture says that if we'll confess our sins, that he is just and faithful to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want to get clean? You want to be clean? Just tell God that you're sorry for what you've been doing. That is, if you've been doing something you shouldn't. Tell him you're sorry. His word says, I'll cleanse you. Now, that's a pretty good offer, I think. And it can happen to you right there while you're sitting in your chair. I encourage you to do that before we take the communion supper, and then you partake just like everybody else. In John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, the words of our Lord, verse number 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus is about to be sacrificed, and he knows it. There is about to come a tremendous storm into this land, into this little band of disciples. It's going to be a difficult time for them. For 3.5 years, they've had the Master with them. For 3.5 years, they have been close to him. They've heard him speak. They've watched him operate. They've watched him heal the sick. They've watched him restore sight to the blind. They've watched the lame walk. They've heard the gospel preached to the poor. They've watched the anointing of Almighty God in the body of a man. They saw love incarnate at work. And here on this night, Jesus knows that he's going to be with his Father the next few days. And he knows that his little band of followers is going to be greatly troubled. Here they've believed in him all this time. They've left their homes. They've left their families. They left their nets. They left their tax collectors' tables. They left their fathers and their mothers. They left everything that they had. Peter said, Master, we have forsaken everything to come and follow you. And here they are, they own nothing except the clothes that are on their back, and they've been expecting a grand and magnificent kingdom to be ushered in by this Messiah. Jesus knows it's not going to happen the way they expected it would, and a storm is about to burst on their lives. And so he says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Now, if anybody's unsure whether Jesus is going to come again, I want you to remember those four words. He said, I will come again. For the purpose of receiving you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, they did not understand that they knew the way, but Jesus knew that they knew, because he is the way, and they knew him. Therefore, they knew the way. They didn't realize that was the way, but they knew it. Do you understand what he's saying? Then over in verse 15, he gives them some instruction for the interim. I'm going away. I want you to believe in me. I'm going to prepare a magnificent place for you where we're going to dwell together for all eternity. And I'll come again when the time is right, and I'll receive you to myself, and we'll be together, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't worry about it. You know where I'm going, and you know the way to go there. Even though you may not understand it, I have done my work among you. I've done a good work among you. It'll be clear to you in time. In verse 15, he says, now this is my promise while I'm gone. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I'm leaving, but my Father will send you another Comforter, another Helper, someone in my place, someone who will abide with you forever. I've only been with you 3.5 years, but when I leave, God my Father is going to send you a Comforter who will never leave you, who will be with you forever and ever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and he in me, and I in you. Now down at the 25th verse, after the promise of the Comforter, after he gives the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit, after he declares that I'm not going to leave you alone, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you someone else who will abide with you forever and will do inside you the same thing that I have done beside you. I'm going to send you my own Spirit to live inside you, one who will be with you wherever you go, and he will do for you the same things that I have done while I've been with you in the flesh. Verse number 25, he explains himself. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, here we get the identity of who this new Comforter is, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, or in my place, in my authority, to do my works. He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. He said, I'm going away. You know where I'm going, and you know how to get there. But you won't understand it until the Holy Spirit comes. And when he comes, he will come inside you, and he will dwell inside you, and he will abide with you forever, and he will teach you the things that I've been trying to get you to understand. He will show you things to come. He will bring back everything to your remembrance that I've explained to you, and he will teach you what is the way to follow after me. He'll teach you how to come where I am. In the meantime, even though I recognize that there is a tremendous storm coming, even though I understand that as soon as I leave that there will be a great storm will come against you, peace I leave with you. Is that good? My peace I give unto you. Don't worry about the storm. Don't get excited about the storm. Don't fret about what's going to happen. Yes, you'll think everything's lost, but I give you my peace. I give it to you and it'll keep you no matter how hard the storm is, no matter how difficult the time is. I give you my inner peace. I cause myself to dwell inside you. I give my spirit, my very personality to dwell on the inside of you, so that no matter what comes against you, you can be at peace. That's what this is all about, right here. You see, the disciples, for the 3.5 years that Jesus was with them, as long as he was in their presence where they could see him, and as long as he was awake, they had peace. But the first time he was out of their sight, they go bananas again, just like they used to be. And even when he was on the same ship, he was asleep on the back of the ship. You'll remember that experience? And the storm came, and they couldn't see him. And they began to fret and worry, and they began to get excited. And they went and woke him up, and they said, Master, don't you care lest we perish? You see, they had to have his physical presence in order to have peace. They had to have him personally visible. It's kind of like a little child. You know how your children are? You can take your little child, your 3- and 4-year-old, you can take them to the grocery store, Mama. And as long as that child can see you, he's just fine, he's happy, he's doing just fine. But while he's playing with a grape jelly and you've gone on down the aisle, and he looks up and you're gone, what happens to him? He begins to cry. He begins to make a fuss in the middle of Kroger's. And you, what has happened to my child? You're right around the corner, so you haven't gone far, but he can't see you. And his peace is gone. And that's the way it is with people. That's the way it is with grown-ups, the same way. When they could see Jesus, they had peace and they had assurance and they knew that he was the one that had everything under control. But he knows that when I leave, man, when I go to that cross and when I die, all hell is going to break loose on the earth and my disciples are going to be in the midst of a storm like they've never dreamed of before. And he said, I've taken care of that for you. I've provided that for you. Not only for his disciples, but beloved, he's provided it for you. And he's provided it for me. Peace I leave with you. I give you a comforter. I give you one who will produce peace in your heart. I give you one who will live on the inside of you and allow you to live in peace. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what comes against you, no matter what the storms of life. And that's what this day of Pentecost is all about. It's the day on the church calendar that we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter of God, to indwell the church, to bring not only salvation, but to bring the peace that goes with it. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. You see, the world gives peace as long as you have your eyes on the policeman, or as long as you have your eyes on your daddy, or as long as you have your eyes on the pastor, or as long as you have your eyes on your husband. Jesus said, I give you a peace that'll live inside you. I give you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God, who will live on the inside of you and give you peace no matter where you are, no matter who you're with, and no matter how difficult the time that you're in. Not like the world gives. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I like that. How about you? Amen. I've got peace this morning. How many of you have peace this morning? If you have the Holy Ghost living in you, if you believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth as your Savior, you've been born of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you and you should have peace. God gave that peace through the third person of the Trinity. When Jesus died, he said, I know that when I leave, my people are going to need another presence. They're going to need another comforter, and I'm going to give you one. He'll come and live inside you, and he will abide with you forever. How many of you expect the Holy Spirit to be with you forever? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the Comforter. I thank you, Lord, for the peace that you give in the midst of the storm. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for sending the Holy Ghost in Jesus' name, that we might have our Savior's presence, the presence of Jesus himself, his very own Spirit, living not just with us as with the disciples, but now in us. So we say, our Father, that we'll not let our hearts be troubled and we'll not let them be afraid, because we acknowledge the presence of your Holy Comforter inside us, abiding there every minute of every day to bring peace. Peace with God by salvation through Jesus Christ, your Son. Peace with ourselves because we know that we are at peace with you. And peace with the world round about us because we know that there's no storm that's bigger than the God who dwells in us in the person of the Holy Ghost. We thank you, Father, and praise you. Bless you for the work of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I want you to bow your heads. Is there someone in this auditorium today that hasn't received the peacemaker? That does not have peace in his heart or in her heart? Needs to have it today. Is there someone here that has not been made new in Christ Jesus? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're here today and you're in a storm and you want to call out to Jesus, I want you just to lift your hand to him. Every eye is closed and every head is bowed. I want you just to lift your hand to the Lord and say, here I am, Lord, I'm in the midst of a storm. I need your peace. I need your comforter. I need that indwelling presence. I need to know that you're with me and in me. Father, I ask you to minister especially to the people now concerning this peace. You've seen the hands and the hearts that are raised to you, Father. You see those that are calling out to you for peace in the midst of the storm. Your word has been proclaimed, and you tell us in the Bible that signs and wonders will follow the proclamation of the word. I believe, Father, that the sign of salvation follows the proclamation of this word today in hearts that are reaching out for you. That the sign of the new birth, the indwelling presence of the Lord, follows the preaching of this word. I believe, Father, for those who have been in a storm, even though they're your children, and have not known how to appropriate your peace, I believe that your peace follows the preaching of this word. And as we reach out to you, Father, with open hearts, I thank you that your Spirit flows in, cleansing from sin, cleansing from stain, driving out unrighteousness and replacing it with new life, and also driving out fear, replacing it with peace, driving out insecurity and replacing it with assurance. As we partake of this supper today, Father, we do so in obedience to the command of the head and the king of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. For he said, as oft as ye eat this bread and drink of this cup, that you do proclaim my death until I come. We set aside now, Father, this bread and this juice from the ordinary to which it was created unto the special for which it is intended this morning as representative of the body and the blood that was broken and shed for us by a loving Savior who gave his life a ransom that we might be saved. Minister to us, Father, now as we partake of the elements. In Jesus' name, amen.